The reason I'm also raising this chairperson is that when you look at the budget as approved and submitted and tabled here in Parliament, we budgeted for a loss. And that was purely based on there being nothing to go by that was as positive as some of the news that have come through from January to up until now. But we are saying to you and to Honourable Chair and the committee that we think things are going to change for the better. On the next slide, Chair, I've got our strategic objectives. We've not really changed them. We're still working with these strategic objectives. And I think that last year we did say something a bit about the last one, which is contributing towards the towards skills development for young people in this country. And there's quite a lot that you will see from what we're going to say to you around that issue, because we believe that is the future of our industry as well as the economy in general. The outcomes that we've set for ourselves as an organization for this year and into the medium term are as follows: that we want to see the industry transforming and growing. We want to continue and develop, you know, new enterprises for this industry. We also want to see large-scale South African enterprises in this sector cutting and polishing diamonds instead of doing anything further to the end of the pipeline, because that is lacking and it's something that this country requires and needs. We also are talking about being an efficient and innovative and developmental organization, because we provide quite a lot of learning, but I will show you, Chairperson, what we're talking about around those outcomes. A few years ago, actually in 2013, we came up with our marketing strategy, and it has got a number of pillars, but prudence dictated that the board selects or prioritizes those few, you know, each time, so that we can be able to implement them in a staggered manner, because we just do not have the capability in terms of resources, both human and financial, to do all the work at the same time. But also it's just a good thing to space it out like that. So we've got these that are prioritized here, and some have actually been carried out, but those that we're prioritizing for this year is to continue the provincial promotional activities, where we then inform the country, we inform young people, and we attract young people into the sector, and you will see some of the things that we do with them as we present. And as well as assisting with access to local and international markets for the existing players in the industry, particularly the new entrants and the HDSA ones. And we want to pilot the establishment of Diamonds as a brand, just to give ourselves as an industry, but also as the new entrants, something different or something to look forward to and something to do that is not being done elsewhere. Now, I'm now jumping, Chairperson, to our key activity two, which is that we've already started with this work because it requires time. We're organizing our second Diamond Index. We had a good function last year. The first and the inaugural Diamond Endeavour went very well, not only in terms of the discussions that we had, but also in terms of just the industry and us working together, even with those who originally were probably naysayers, but just working together and providing that platform, it gave us the energy to carry on with this and say, we'll continue this work. So we're busy doing this now. It's in September. On the 26th of September, and again, it's still part, you know, during the time of ULS. And we continue to do this work, you know, looking at this ABC guide to diamonds, because we think it is useful for people who are outside the industry and who may want to come in, just to have a sense of what we're talking about when we talk about diamonds in this country. We already have government and the industry stakeholders participating with us. And we have, you know, on a monthly basis. We already are meeting and preparing for this work because even the industry sees it as a platform that helps them vent out or share their views around what is going on. So we'll continue with this work because of what we've seen. Last year, we had the South African Young Diamond Beneficiaries Guild launched at the meetup. These are young people, primarily black companies that are in this guild, and we've been trying to work with them now and supporting them and giving them a leg up on many things as we want to give them all the support that we can give them. And so this work continues, and we are with them as well in terms of preparing and going forward with the 2016 leg of the index. We will continue planning again to facilitate on a continuous basis this access to international markets particularly, but also to local ones, because there are quite a number of those that are ever so often not related to diamonds, but where they present a platform for markets for our clients, particularly the new entrants who are struggling with getting to lucrative markets, well, fairly lucrative markets elsewhere in the world. I've just mentioned a few there. We have a few that we've given as examples, Jefferson. The fourth key activity that we see ourselves implementing, and it's important for us, is that we want to measure the impact of what we've been doing, with our clients on their businesses, what has been happening, and whether they're growing. We've set a target of 5% of growth that we want to see that they're growing somewhere. Even if that 5% includes one more job that they will create because of this exposure that we're giving them as a space diamond trader. So the benchmark exercise is underway to then say, we say 5% as a target. What is the benchmark for then jumping to that 5%? So we've already started on that work, and this is going to assist us in seeing whether we have impact. Our key activity number 5 is around the development of youth enterprises in our sector. It's not only about young people that are outside or those that are owning new companies that we're facilitating growth for, but we actually have our own enterprise development program, which we're implementing with partners, particularly in the private sector. Partners who have agreed to train these young people in their factories and mostly at their own cost, and they pay the stipends to the young people, but still it is a state diamond trader enterprise development program. And we are in its second year now. We've got 8 young people in training, if my memory serves me well at the moment, Chair. Yes, it's 8 people in training this year, and we are set to have another 6 starting in the coming month with one of the partners who has shown interest to grow with us. We are looking at we have targeted a success rate of 75% in terms of these young people starting their own beneficiation enterprises, starting in, 2018-19, that financial year. But there's quite a lot of work that we're putting into developing these young people, and their commitment is key to what we're doing, because this work is quite intensive with them being at the factory. I have already spoken about our provincial promotional activities a bit, but we'll continue doing this, and we do it with partners, and some of whom are sister organizations in here who have graciously agreed, and we all go out to different parts of the country to inform about the work that we do. And from those activities, we are then able to do this, to go back now to number 5 a bit. This is where we then get this interest in some CVs and people sending us their expression of interest, in participating in our program. And so some of the young people that we have will in the end be coming probably from most of the provinces because of this promotional activity that we conduct throughout the country, as well as just linking that to the program of developing young people's businesses in our sector. This one is at pilot stage, and it's something that we are going to do over a period of time, and but we're starting this year to see what is going to be happening around the development, the establishment of Diamonds as a brand, because brands are quite important in our sector, in our luxury sector of the economy, and we want to also work around that and see whether we can't. You know, we go out to other countries, particularly in the East, in countries such as your China, etc. People there believe all diamonds come from South Africa, and that's already a brand, and it's something that we should be then doing something about, and we've said that we want to capture that, as well as to exploit just that sentiment that diamonds are synonymous with South Africa, and see what it is that we can come up with. But we are piloting this year, Chairperson, so if the results are not as exciting as we want, I am hoping that the Honorable Committee can bear with us on that. And the next activity, Chair, is that we have our own sales strategy, and in terms of which really we are growing the existing clients, particularly the small and HDSA ones and the new entrant ones. And we want to see how they grow, and so we set aside some targets. We've set ourselves some targets in terms of how we're going to assist them to get to the numbers that we would like to see them go, and we actually engage them at the beginning of term to say, this is where we want to see you grow. Are you walking with us? And we go along with them. But we also want to just increase those that are actively trading, so that it's not just a one-off thing. We want to see their businesses growing. And so we've taken quite a big task. And it helps that we've got partners that are seeing value in what we are attempting to do as a state diamond trader, particularly among the producing sector of diamonds, of the diamond pipeline. So mining companies that we buy from, some of them are really willing and are working with us in terms of getting to where we want to go with the strategy. And the next one, Chairperson, is now in what we talked about, that outcome of really a growing organization, employing and training youth with disabilities this time. We're focusing on them, and so this year we will be having them. We've done our groundwork, and we're ready to take them on and to get them into this training. It's a training of 3 years. It's going to take 3 years. It has taken 3 years before, and we're hoping that even this time it's going to take 3 years. You know, but we have been owned by DPSA, which is Disabled People South Africa, about our expectations, so that we can align our expectations with the realities that are faced by people with disabilities in this country. We might just end up extending their training period if a need arises, but we don't foresee that. We think we will be able to deal with any challenges that may come our way. So once they've completed the training, the aim is to employ them as a state diamond trader and to carry on with the work with their work as a state diamond trader. And the last one, Chairperson, is about us having recognized that people just don't know or much about diamonds generally, and with the work that we do in provinces, where we say we need to just expose young people through the short-term learnership program to diamonds, and for them to get some skills, in diamonds. So this one, we are going to be starting with this. We are ready. We have gone through all the accreditation issues that we needed to address and see whether we can do this with MQA. And so now we are at the stage of doing it for the first time. it is our hope that we will extend, we'll expand the knowledge as well as people knowing what is mined in this country as something that is important, is something that they can invest in the future as well. This slide, Chair, this the chairperson, that slide 16 is aligning, is indicating the alignment between what we want to do and what we are doing, our strategic objectives with the shareholder program, the DMR, as well as the national outcomes. And we've looked at, you know, that alignment, and we believe that all that we're doing is going to ensure that these national outcomes are met even by us. I'll hand over to the CFO.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members and my colleagues. I'll just take you through to the budget for 2016-17. And on this, we've budgeted for the sales of 425,256,000. And as the CEO has indicated, the issue is the market. Obviously, we've got that challenge, so hence, if you look at the previous budget, you find that this has actually decreased. And our cost of goods, we're planning to sell at least 408,900,000. That will result in a gross profit of 16,356,000. And our expenditure, the total expenditure that we're going to have, is going to be 21,165,478, which is actually outlined below. And that will make us to get an earnings before interest and tax of 4,809,478, which is going to be a loss, as the CEO has indicated. Our interest income, we're planning it to be 1,275,180, and the interest expense, we're planning that it's going to be 1,390,409,000. Then we'll get our loss again, which is going to be 4,927,707,000, and then at the end we'll get a net loss of 4,927,707. The issue that we're going to be having, that interest expense, which is quite high, is because we are utilizing the IDC, revolving credit, which actually charges an interest. So we hope that maybe our shareholder maybe come to our rescue and assist us in these times of stress. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, for that. And I know it doesn't sound like good news at the end, then that we are budgeting for this loss, but it doesn't mean that we don't have our own retained funds as well. We still have that. It's just that, you know, with the market being what it is, we just had to reduce, as CFO was pointing out, reduce our purchases. Which then means that if you do that on terms of all the planning that we've done, it just results in that budgeted loss. But we are hopeful and we are planning and we're confident that it's going to change. Thank you very much, Everson.
Okay. Under the circumstances, try your best. Something they used to put on the house. I won't tell you why, because we're here. They call it Islam train. So that time not Islam train, that is gonna be a rush. The only thing something that you didn't do, your marketing specialist, out of all the people that have left me. That's maybe it's only me who didn't hear.
I probably got excited, Jefferson, by, you know, showing you my young person as well as introducing and giving you her history. Her name is Silayela Mashilwane.
Okay.
Silayela Mashilwane. I call them expert shepherds.
Don't run and go there at the back as if you are in the classroom and don't want to ask questions. You know what, people, they don't want to ask questions, they run. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and all colleagues present in the my platform is a very difficult one. I know when the train is about to leave the station. So everybody must be in the train. I know everybody's tired. It has been a long day. But I will do our best. Let me first start by also introducing a team that is with me here. I've got three general managers who are on my right, one for corporate service, the CFO, and the general manager for compliance. And we also have the company secretary with me next to me. They are going to present here. I'm just going to do the presentation, but I'll make sure that everybody hurries the part that they must present. And as you know, I've spoken with you before, that will be like a handover, because they will be taking over the reins of this organization. So without any waste of time, slide number, the first page and the second page, and I'm saying this with the understanding that the members, honorable members, have got hard copies with them. So I'm going to run. We're actually going to slide the presentation outline, taken as read or been looked at. Well, I'm going to skip it because I'm not going to waste time on that one. On the background, I'm just going to highlight, I think I've not seen any new member that has just come recently. We have presented this. That is the background of the SNEPMR pre-2007, what used to happen there. As it is, I'm sharing there, it was the South African Diamond Board, and it was established in terms of the Diamond Act 1986. What is important was its objective, which was to regulate the trade of diamonds in the country. It didn't have these other things that we have now. And then pre that, there was an introduction of the South African Diamond and Precious Metal Regulator, which is the one that I'm representing now. And as you see, those objectives included, the human elements, where we had to ensure, or the government wanted assurance that there was promotion to equitable access. The Kimberley process also, which came in 2003, also was one that was incorporated. And then adherence to the objectives of the broad and socio-economic that the department is responsible for. We have also incorporated that. And that the new act, with its amendment, it also made a provision for the establishment of the Diamond Exchange and Export Center. And also it provided for the establishment of the State Diamond Trader, as they were supposed to have told you that they are established in terms of this act as well. And also the introduction of the Export Levies Act that were meant to for the taxation of imports. And as unlike before, the South African Diamond Precious Metals is now funded by
monies appropriated by Parliament, although it does not cover, but it is sufficient because there has been measures introduced to generate additional revenue to cover for the budget, as you will see when the CFO presents their budget. Also, there was an introduction fee after 2007 of the Precious Metals Act 2005. Previously, it was only diamonds, so we also regulate the precious metals. On slide 6, you see those acts that we are actually using. I think it's important also that Section 100 of the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development is mentioned, as I've said, is the responsibility of the department. And those acts as amended. Chairperson, that's all the background that I just want to highlight. The rest of the things we're going to talk to from slide 7, and I'm going to hand over to the GM Corporate Service to take us through the organizational structure. And please, there are numbers there that speak for themselves for each category. We were asked previously that we should indicate the numbers on the structure. So please, GM, you must move fast on that. Don't stay where there's numbers that speak for themselves. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. As the CEO indicated, the organizational structure of the regulator comprises of 125 employees as of 31st March 2016. I think it's very clear from the organogram we have about 30 programs, administration, diamond trade and regulatory compliance, and then we have all those other offices that are reporting directly to the CEO's office. In the next slide we have actually broken down what is detailed in the previous slide. In terms of employment equity, just to emphasize or address the actual deal that was made last year, to say that there's a need for us to actually detail how are we doing in terms of employment equity. So in terms of gender, our females are around 73 and males are around 52. So in terms of gender disparity, we have actually managed to address the 50% that is being required by the Department of Public Safety and Administration. In terms of race, we have more Africans, and then we have the other races as indicated in that particular slide. As we go further, we have also made a breakdown of employment equity statistics in terms of the professional categories within the organization. As outlined, and maybe just to try and address the question that was raised by the Honorable Chairperson previously with regards to unskilled employees. We do have unskilled employees, but we have encouraged all of them to actually register. We have three who are actually studying for national diplomas. And from time to time when they have free time available to themselves, they are actually assisting in various directorates or divisions in terms of filing, and other administrative tasks that will actually expose them to what the regulator is all about. The intention is to make sure that once opportunities are available in those particular areas, they are actually being prepared and they become ready for those roles. And now I'll come into our annual performance plan. First of all, I'll take you through how we came about the development of our annual performance plan. We had to take into consideration as prescribed by the Treasury Directive in terms of developmental structures and annual performance plans that we need to take into consideration key documents. One of them was the National Development Plan. We also took into consideration the 9-point plan of government and all applicable legislation. By this we mean it could be directives from National Treasury, from the Presidency, from the Department, and all other relevant entities that we are dealing with to actually feed into that particular plan. To confirm our strategic objectives, we have five strategic objectives. The first one is to improve competitive and sustainable development and job creation in the diamond and precious metals industry. To transform the diamond and precious metals sectors, I think we all are aware of the fact that these particular sectors previously were dominated by other races other than the designated groups. So we are trying to make sure that transformation actually happens in line with the requirements of the mining charter. The other strategic objective is to promote equitable access to resources for local beneficiation. It will be clearer in terms of the activities that here we try to make sure that those who are actually into the business of beneficiation and also coming from previously disadvantaged backgrounds are actually being afforded an opportunity to be able to buy diamonds within the diamond exchange center within the regulator and be able to beneficiate those easily. The fourth strategic objective is to ensure compliance with legislative requirements. This relates mainly to your inspections that need to be conducted, especially for those who are licensed or who are in the process of requesting for license applications, to make sure that they actually comply with the provisions of the Diamond Act as well as the Precious Metals Act. So we are required to, from time to time, to conduct inspections and ensure that there's compliance. As part of ensuring that our organization actually performs well, we need to make sure that we improve organizational capacity for maximum execution of excellence. This relates mainly to the administration, being the finance, supply chain, and human resources, ICT, and your security management services that are done in accordance with the set standards that are applicable within the public service. As I've indicated, it's a requirement for us to actually make sure that each and every strategic objective that we come up with is actually aligned to the National Development Plan. I think the table clearly indicates that each and every strategic objective we try by always to align it to the NDP priorities and focus areas as it is outlined there. And we went further to actually identify pointers within the 9-point plan that are relevant to us to actually link to the strategic objectives of the organization. I think in the interest of time, these are the ones that we have identified. There are three. Included there is Operation Kalkita, aimed at growing the ocean economy and others. So we've also tried to make sure that all other things that we need to do are aligned to this, as well as unlocking the potential of SMMEs and cooperatives, township and rural enterprises. So this is done through transformation units that is there in the organization. So then I'll pause here and hand over to my colleague.
Thank you very much, Linda. As she said that we develop our employees, she's one such a person that received such development. You will recall that when she came here, she was a company secretary. She's now a general manager. She's been promoted to chair. And the one next to me used to come as a legal advice, legal services. Now she's a company secretary. We concentrate on developing all the people inside. Thank you very much. We'll now proceed to the GM compliance. Can you also speak to the interest of time, but not skipping anything?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and colleagues. I hope, Chair, I'm allowed to take the floor at this time, if you don't mind. I'll talk to the strategy. Objectives as a the GM conference has already outlined the objectives, but what I'm doing now is just to link them to the key activities that take place within the function of the SMDPMR, which is basically to issue licenses to enable diamond and precious metals trade and assisting new entrepreneurs in the diamond and the precious metals industry, facilitating skill development, overseeing the provision of issuing a beneficiation license. On that, I should say, with regards to our plan, we base it on the previous year's baseline. So, we've been able for 2015, 2016, we've been able to meet the target, but what I need to outline is that there could be a bit of a challenge as we're moving on. Every time we have to increase the target based on what the treasury requires us to do, so we need to plan carefully there. And we continue to assist new entrepreneurs, specifically the SDSA, to access the industry, because it's a bit of a challenge, especially in the precious metals industry, because of the high technology and the costs that are associated with that particular industry. It's not easy for them to crack through. And then with regards to skills development, we there's a number of things that we're looking at internally and externally to ensure that we assist, especially the SGSA, to understand basically the basic requirements of the law itself. We conduct workshops to ensure that they understand what is it that they are getting themselves into, because if you look around, many of the people don't even know what diamond looks like. So it's our responsibility to ensure that we train them. We've got skilled people within the GDV function, as an example, that will take them through the basic understanding of what they have to do next. Now, the next objective looks at transforming the diamond and precious metal sector. That's a very big challenge to transform the industry, as we know that this sector was, these two sectors were specifically not open to historically disadvantaged groups. So we're trying to reduce the number of active businesses. We've gone out to various provinces, identifying areas where there's a potential in terms of employment and in terms of the impact on the outcome. So we categorize them and we target those specific ones, and we go and meet them and see what their challenges are and see how we can help them. And we also try to engage with the established industry to see how can we close the gaps and how can they assist them to actually participate in the industry. With regards to equitable access, what we have done, we have specifically looked at access to the Diamond Exchange and Export Center, whereby we prioritize the SDSA, especially on local beneficiaries, to actually access the SDSA so that they can view the diamonds and bid accordingly. Another objective relating to enforcement of compliance, what we normally do is we conduct valuation services for diamonds. So if this is open to the public, anyone can come and acquire the necessary stuff. Anyone that's involved that has got license, we assist them in the valuation. And also looking at if there's a dispute in terms of the fair market, because that's one of the functions that we undertake. So we also assist SAPS in when they come across or they encounter illegal or illicit activity, those goods get confiscated. So they come to us to also get the valuation of those goods before they can go to court. Now, we also conduct inspection services within the diamond and precious metal sector. That's the area where I also feel that we may need in future a bit of more capacity there, because there's a lot of inspections that we undertake, considering that if you look, for instance, in the precious metals and gold sector, there's a lot of illicit activities, and we engage on a daily basis with SAPS and other entities such as SARS and the Reserve Bank, Treasury, and so on, to ensure that we close the gap of those with the GMR as well. For these compliance inspections on licenses, yeah, what we're trying to say is that as much as we receive applications, evaluate them, we do in-depth analysis of what those business plans are all about, not just the issues. So we're looking at the qualitative assessment as well, whereby people go out there to verify what we have in the business plan, does it make sense in terms of our strategic plan. One other big function is the issue of the Kimberley Process Certification Scheme. South Africa has been very resourceful in terms of assisting our neighbor SADC countries in the compliance with the resistance Swaziland, and Lesotho, the Kingdom of Lesotho, trying to give them assistance. There's also been a special request by the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela to come also and assist with the review visit that's going to take place in April this month. So it's one area that we've been participating, and our role has been, there's been a lot of appreciation of what South Africa is doing in that regard. And lastly, on that, I need to emphasize that we're working very closely with the board and its committee just to ensure that we report on what's happening in terms of our internal audits and external audits to ensure that we eradicate all the repeat findings. In terms of improving organizational capacity for excellence, we will ensure that our structure remains aligned and relevant to our strategic objectives, and ensure that we capacitate our officials through bursaries, training, and other courses. And I should mention that last week we just had one of our officials graduating for his PhD. So we have a doctor. I hope we're not going to get the researchers coaching from us. Now, another thing that we have identified is that because of our history within the diamond board, there's been a lot of people still use the word diamond board to refer to us. So we realize that we still need to improve our branding so that people get to know what it is that we do. So we put more information out there. We go out and interact with our stakeholders so that people get to understand, including the public, what is it that we do. So that's another area that we're looking at to strengthen. And then seeing that we're dealing with very high value goods, security is very, very important. That means within and without. So our people get vetted, and all our security systems have to be strengthened. So we continue doing that. And lastly, we have our legal support function that's looking at issues that may impact on the regulator and how we address them. The CEO has mentioned that we undertaking the function of dealing with the mining charter, Section 100, to be specific. But we only focus on the four key pillars of the charter, which is ownership, HRD, procurement, and employment equity. There is a team that has been established since 2013 to ensure compliance to the commitment and undertakings of companies. The undertakings they made in their business plan to ensure that transformation is realized. Because we have picked up, there's been a lot of fraud. So that's one area where we're trying to close the gap. And I'll hand over to my colleague to continue.
Chairperson, every time we report, we have been reporting about this, the establishment of the state force. Today, we are just going to report on the program that has been made. So, this thing has been said in Parliament, some of the speeches in Parliament, so it's a serious thing for government. So we have to make sure that it happens. Together, of course, remember we do it for the department. We just produce the document, but it is the minister's project. So we're just going to report on the progress on it. Without any waste of time, the company secretary will take us through it.
Okay, thank you so much, CEO. Chairperson, the last time we were here, the regulator reported that we are busy with the formulation of a concept document on the bonds. So what has happened so far, Chairperson, is that the bond document has been concluded and was presented to the board for approval. The board has approved the document and we have submitted it to the department, which has since looked at the document and given us its input. So we are currently still at the consultation phase with the department to finalize the document. Shepperton, in the meantime, we are consulting with the Housing Industrial Development who are busy with the industrial development zone, which will be housed at the OR Tambo International Airport. So the regulator has actually identified this area as an ideal location to house the boats, because apparently the GIZ is also looking into having a jewelry manufacturing precinct around, within the precinct. So we are hoping to have another report when we come again in October for the annual report and to give further progress on the establishment of the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to put it very clear, as we said, we formulated this document for the minister. It is in the minister's hands. The minister has asked some questions. They've been answered, and we'll be getting some marching orders from the department. There's a number of road maps that must still unfold on this thing. But until probably that it comes to cabinet for approval. So those road maps, they will be unfolding in this year and the following year as well. But I think it is very important that, as I said, imperative that those road maps now start going fast. But the minister is aware of the urgency of this matter, so he will be giving marching orders in the near future. So, President, without wasting time on this one, we're going to take you now through our budget allocation for 2016-17, and the CFO will take us through that.
Good day, Chairperson, honorable members, and colleagues. The source of financial resources that will be used to finance the strategic objective for the regulator for 2016-2017 is from the following two main sources: government grant, where we will be getting 53,205,000. And the in-house generated revenue, where we'll be getting, we have projected 41,398,000, of which, based on the historical trends, 68% of that will be derived from the services that we provide as per the regulation. 8% of that will be derived from the licenses and permits, and 8% from penalties, and the rest, which is 8% from others. Total projected revenue will be 94,603,000, while projected expenditure will be 90,508,000, which will result into a surplus of 4,095,000. The next slide is talking to the projected expenditure. We've just detailed the projected expenditure on this slide. We just highlighted what we felt were the cost main drivers, of which staff remuneration is one of them at 70.536, office accommodation at 3.9, insurance at 1.9, audit fees at 3 million, board fees at 1.3, telecommunication at 1.5, internet and data, Kibali process certification scheme that the GM has indicated that we participate in 1 million, international travel at 793,000, inventory, which includes the tamper-proof materials that we use for export purposes, 964, and the rest of other smaller expenses at 5.2 million. And that brings us to the total expenditure. Maybe I just indicate that we have sensitized National Treasury about the requirement of force by just including a paragraph on the charter and also populating on our database where we'll need funding in the third outer year of the MTF. Thank you.
That sums up the budget, Chairperson, but of importance is just what the CFO has said, that you need money. This is a capital project. We need money to actually see it implemented and unfolding. And we have indicated to National Treasury the needs. But even as I said, in some of the forums of Parliament, this thing has already been mentioned. We hope even before we get that, we still do need money that has to be some of the unfolded roadmaps that I said has to unfold. We're going to need money, but that we do not support it here because we think we'll tap from what we have. We have spent most of our money. We don't have money, really. But for now, we think we can still cope until this project is funded to the fullest. And now, in conclusion, Chairperson, the challenges, as we all know, that the global economic downturn has up to now continued to have an adverse impact in the industry, and it is yet to recover. Unfortunately, this is not South Africa's problem, but it's a global problem. I'm sure you have heard this from other entities that they were reporting. Money is the challenge. The economy is bad. We, however, anticipated that the implementation of the state of the boss will actually change the situation. It's an anticipation. We have to work hard to make sure that this happens, that it addresses some of the challenges that this industry is faced by stimulating the economic sector. The regulator also is talking to some people that have indicated that they can bring the type of skill that can actually enhance or promote or better the beneficiation in this country. We export a lot of diamonds because it is believed that they cannot be beneficiated here. They are called Indian goods, so most of them they go to. The space diamond trader can tell you more. They also get such stuff from the producers, so we end up having to export this. But we are talking to companies that says that they can bring that skill and train our people here. And the regulator will continue embarking on this to see that we are going to really be aggressive on this to see that in the next report we will say what progress are we at. I think that sums up everything. We commit ourselves to the DMR's Women's in Mining projects, national youth strategies, both internally and externally within the industry. We're doing our best, but we started home first before we go outside the world. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Finito. But it's just the beginning. Any questions? First on State Diamond Treasure. Honorable Member, Honorable Makolo.
I don't want consensus by 14.
Yes, Honorable Makolo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation and congratulate State Diamond Traders for the good work that they are doing, especially when they empower women. Chairperson, my question is, are they doing labor every year, and how do they make sure that they implement the decisions that comes from that labor? The other one is training that is scheduled for a period of 3 years. Are those people that they are going to train going to get stipend or salary, or what's going to happen? Thank you.
Okay. So they can answer. Linked to that, just quickly, I'm trying to help you. Linked to that, first is a comment that might be a common characteristic. is something called here which one day I hope join Mr. Rapper. That is the stubbornness. I'm used to pilgrimage. This mining in Dhamma is more like a pilgrimage every year than the mining in Dhamma. Probably there's no break to look at how much effective what impact is doing. I think that's the point that another Puma follow, the tribe also to get that. If you have a mine, if you've got a diamond in Dhamma this year, and then next year, would you get time to assess and evaluate? Because it's about long-term planning. If it's going to be an annual event, which becomes more like Good Friday. Only thing that changes the date, it can be an early Friday, but only the days or months that change. I think we have to get clarity on that issue. Because I'm going to comment why sometimes these issues were raised, so that we understand why we have come to the comment. The second one, I'm saying, in KZN, I've never seen a diamond. I doubt in the Eastern Cape there's any diamond. I won't dispute other provinces. But these two, now in your program you say you'll be visiting provinces. Now my question will be, which provinces and why? I'm not denying to go and educate people in KwaZulu-Natal, but educating those people on diamond when they never see the diamond in their province until they go out of... I'm not saying they might be out of what Susanna and the team are doing, maybe one day they'll discover that there's a bed of diamond that is sitting in one of these two provinces. Maybe the Western Cape could be. Can we get clarity? I understand in terms of awareness, but does it serve peoples or they are targeted provinces in the program? I think that's the issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I'm going to start with the last one. You are correct, Chairperson, in that there aren't really diamonds in KZN and Eastern Cape. Except for me, I am the diamond from KZN. But on a serious note, I hear that, but Jefferson, it's not really about people getting jobs or creating companies and then staying in that province necessarily. It is about saying to all our kids, some of whom had grandparents or grandfathers who work in diamond mines, that this was about this. It was about that. And so you can take the basin from your grandfather and actually have a beneficiating company and still work on diamonds. And you can take them to KZN. We had one company, I'm not going to get deeper into it, but it actually was cutting and polishing diamonds in Newcastle in KZN and was employing just over 300 women, you know, and a few men, about 8 men who were there, security and this and that. I'm not going to get into issues around it, but I believe it's going away. But there are people who know diamonds, especially in the Newcastle area, Chairperson. The aim of the project in terms of going there is therefore bigger than just the presence of these particular minerals in these provinces. It is about, you know, you're South African, you have an opportunity to actually have a business or to be employed or to do more around diamonds even if they're not there. So we just want to expose and to attract and to get young people into it. Of course, you know, there could be prioritization, but at the same time, we've not really done that. We've been to Limpopo, and we've worked with the provincial government there, the Department of Economic Development. We've been to Northwest, you know, similar, you know, thing as well. And we've been to KZN, you know, and Northern Cape. So it's not really about prioritizing. Sometimes it's about whether the department responds and they respond on time for us to then work together and go there and do the work together. Some of the young people that I said we're training and we want them to get into business in diamond beneficiation are coming and will be coming from this project as we continue, because that's one of the outcomes of going out there. We go out there, we want to see some results, and one of the results is that. About the diamond indaba, Chairperson, as well as Honorable Mafono. Yes, it is we are saying, and the board has said, let us do it on an annual basis, but we're doing it as part of Jewelix. We're not yet doing it as a standalone and say we're calling everyone, but because normally wherever you go in the world where they have diamonds and jewelry shows, there are always seminars on this and that and meetings around this and that, whether afternoon sessions or morning sessions or whole day sessions. We're doing the same, and while we have the industry and the local market for the diamond industry together, you know, we want them to start talking about the diamond issues, etc. The first one was a big meeting which has too many people, etc., and not too many people, but, you know, various speakers from various sectors of the economy. Now we're narrowing it down to what we think should be addressed in 2016. We've looked at the reports and we were also there. We've narrowed it down and agreed with both with industry and government that this is a good way of narrowing it like this. And we're doing some work, Honorable Mafolo as well, in terms of the outcomes and in terms of the outcome and the implementation thereof throughout the year. We're busy now consulting and discussing with, you know, industry players around some of the things that came out as we prepare for the second one. So we may not be perfect around it, but we think that we'll perfect this whole, you know, process as we go along. Training over 3 years from Honorable Mafolo, and yes, these four youth with disabilities, they will be paid, not a stipend, actually more like when people pay for internships, etc., and on the basis that this is, they're in an industry with, you know, that is specialized like this. So it is a fairly good amount to start with, even for them, as we pay out. And we've done this right from the beginning, that we don't just pay stipends, but we pay them throughout and then see whether we can employ them at the end, because that is our aim, and they will know right from day one that the aim is to employ them after the 3 years on a full-time basis. I think I've done this. Thank you.
Okay, on diamond regulation, any questions? Honorable Mafolo?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Let's go, let me welcome the presentation. Let's go to page 8. Is it Mr. Boyle? Rapport, yeah. Thank you. When Mr. Rapport talks about numbers, he made me to be curious on these numbers. I just want to know the semi skills, especially number of people with, where the column is saying number of people with disabilities. Is it a female or a male? Because when you add that 52 plus 73, it gives you 125. So where does that one falls under female or male? And then the other thing, page 15, you are saying that the key activity issue license to enable diamond and precious metal trade. Thank you for those lessons that you are issuing. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The first question I will allow the corporate service general manager, that's HR falls under her, to answer that. And the second one, the GM on compliance, to answer that. As soon as we can.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Honorable Makalo. Apologies for that. With regards to the person with disability, this is a male. He is actually employed to work in the communication department, where he is dealing with receiving clients, telephones, and all that. So he's a receptionist through communication officer. We said as part of his skills development, he needs to also be exposed to issues of branding, because we are implementing the branding manual within the regulator. So he's part of the team for communication. So he falls under the main category of our employees. They are classified as semi-skilled because of the level of the position. I think it's still at an entry level for communication. And as he progresses, he moves to the professional side of things. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I didn't get that question clearly.
I'm looking for this humbly request that you get it clear.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. What we have an array of licenses and certificates and permits. But in general, for your beneficiation licenses, we're talking about 2 months period to be issued. From if all your information is correct, within 2 months. 2 months we're able to issue a beneficiary license. It can be shorter than that, depending on what we have on the table.
Now, I've seen many things in this committee today. First, let's agree. You know, your font size, when it starts, it can make us lazy, especially when it comes to your key security area. See, it makes us to doubt what we feel. Don't make us struggle to see. Make it easy. Two, you know, this CEO is doing another magic here. Some put on negotiating a contract with the department to say that he's guaranteed 99% negotiating in front of us so that we can testify as witness. Now, he's now want us also to be witnesses that he did a handover. Yes, we're all witnesses that the handover was done by giving anyone. But on a serious note, let's go to, not that I'm questioning your, there's something very strange. You see, where is this? Now, Mr. Rappel, look at the organogram on page 7. And say, can you look up when I raise that issue? Not to say I'm saying there's something wrong. I don't know. It says below the chief executive officer. I don't know. You tell me. There are two employees. What does that mean? These numbers. Two. Then it says transformation office. I don't know whether the transformation office is a transformation officer. Now, you see, when you draw that thing, since I had a little bit, when you draw this thing, it says this transformation office reports direct to the CEO.
Correct.
Then go and look, that's for a simple thing. Look at finance. Finance is down on the ladder and supply chain. And ordinarily is we assume that it's under, I'm saying I may not be understanding. It's supposed to be under administration. Under normal circumstances, finance will come directly under the CEO through the chief financial officer. I've been trying to do it. And internal audit under normal circumstances is a body of the board of directors. Not a what do you call this? It's not an office. It's a more like a committee of the board. I don't know, but you can help. Maybe don't answer me today. Let's get another time. But what all these things say, because here it's not the guy, so I noted also, it's not saying organogram. There's a difference between organogram and an organizational structure. An organizational structure is a reflection of activity arrangement within the institution. So we will have to look at on this issue so that there's consistency and uniformity. I'm not saying go and change your things, but we must be able to have at least a clear prescribed process. So that is if to me immediately under finance you get auxiliary service and supply chain. And I know that the councils will be expecting those to be a little bit high up, not far from the CEO. I wouldn't know also what, in terms of your submission, senior managers and executives, there are eight. Whether that executive, which eight or senior manager, is at what level. But my issue though is that we have to find a way where you can easily grasp. If it is a common practice, at least it's easy to relate. But I'm not saying change a work in progress. But quickly, let's go to another issue. I hope CEO in your living as you did that there is a clear commitment. Because people with disability, you still have got zero. At senior or executive management, you still have got zero. At professional level, for skilled employees, as well as at unskilled employees, which means in the entire institution, you've got only one person with disability. I'm just saying, if it's a wrong routine exercise, you have to rectify that. One issue that I think we must, please help me, because hey, you are going to shock some of us. If I listen properly, an unskilled person is someone who doesn't have, when I say, I may not be putting it correctly, let me be academic. Now, when I listen to the track, a person is studying or is doing, or is working towards a national diploma, and then is regarded as unskilled. Maybe you can help us. It may be a person unskilled because of the nature of the institution, because it's a regulatory institution and it's regulating a very scarce commodity in the form of diamond. So I think it's important to understand, because under normal circumstances, a person who's studying towards a national diploma under normal circumstances would be someone who might have a matric, and we really say that person doesn't have, or who may not have a matric but might have done what is called N something, which is today is in your TVET. So I think it's important just to get clarity on that issue. We will have Joel to deal with this thing, which I think is cut across. I'm worried about this, but I reserve my take on it. This notion of Pakisa. I raise the thing, let me be simple. Others say, no, before Pakisa we need the MPRDA. Others say, no, the MPRDA will have to reflect on what are the intentions or the reflections of Pakisa. Others will talk about the mining chart. At some point, we need to find a way of how to deal with those issues. The last issue, the straight question is, must be answered. Either it's an error in writing, it's an error in writing. The department, in fact, let me say it by qualification, it's the second, it's the first time I hear that it does have a strategy. Let alone, because it says last page on the remarks talks about the principles and provisions of the TMRs, women in mining and national youth strategy. Let's be honest. We are, except if Joel and others are keeping those things to themselves. For now, we don't know. We've been asking them. Bring your women in mining strategy. There is only one thing, both of you, I can see you are trying to outwit Ngomezu and others. Even in the absence of the women mining strategy, I was going to ask you a very silly question again. That what does the transformation officer do when almost 90% of your personnel is people with the 8 days. Can tell you now. Males 52, females 73, you are far above the, I'm not saying it's wrong to have that person, but you are far above what you say it's a historical disadvantage. You have surpassed the normal target of 50. African 115. Either we must pat that person at the back. He or she has not done transformation. He has gone beyond the boundaries of transformation. No, it's a good thing. It reflects. Because some of the people have always been projecting that you can't transform. And it's a very strategic industry. Maybe someday we must sit down before you hand over completely. And get it, how did you do it? Maybe it's a model that many can learn from. At least we can explain narrowly that one of this is what you want. Unlike where we went one day, a woman who was in charge tried to justify why women can't move up the ladder. At least we can try it and understand this like that. Women, you're arrogant, you say you're going to do it, and I can see the chances of being a man making it and the state diamond trade are quite minimal. Looking at just at your dedication, I've never seen a man a single day when they're here. So I think we must appreciate that intervention, because you are able, others would have told you that it's a delicate industry, you put this, the way that they've been doing it, it's something that it must be commended. But I don't know whether you want to respond on this one or we leave it, because as I say, my knowledge that there is no strategy that exists in the Department on Women in Mining. They are still working on it.
Yes, I think I must respond on it, but they can correct me. The strategy might not have come to Parliament or Cabinet for approval. I'm not sure of that. But I know they worked and we were involved in that. We had to make inputs. And all we are reflecting here, whatever we have been involved with, we will maintain. And as I said, thank you very much for your accolation of the figures. But what we are saying, we are aware that we have over exceeded the threshold or whatever. But what we are saying here is that we'll keep up, that we'll not regress. In the middle, we have over exceeded. But then you still have management and executive. So we are saying, as long as there's opportunities, we'll make sure that we aggressively address the needs for women and youth in this particular field. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. As we move towards closure, let me thank you, all of you. Some of us, we must say, the more you come here, the more you are learning. And we appreciate your information. Like those from my homeland, if my Tanzima can do it, I can teach. So I'm sure one of the things I think we must encourage is that when all of you come and present here, one of the disadvantages and defects is when you become arrogant and therefore fall on ignorance. You must take sometimes some of these exercises as basis to learn from each other and say, how did you do it? And if you do that, you work for the common good. As I've said, that for now, even in terms of your performance, one of the most and the worst deficiencies sometimes in human beings we have is that instead of complimenting each other, we compete against each other. And at times we drag each other down and get jealous that so-and-so did this. Is not the all of us can only grow if we learn from one another. All of us as well here as members of the committee, it's not that we've got wisdom, but also we are here to compliment that the work that you do so that this country can be able to move forward. Lastly, let me raise these two issues. Quite clearly, you must agree. First is my advice. You know, you share power because the circumstances are compelling you to do so. My advice is this one. When you prepare your annual report, your which will contain almost everything, just continue to have your presentation. There's nothing wrong. But it does help to carry your own summary. Your own summary that deals with key issues that you would want at the end of the day the committee to be able. Let's make an example. If you say, this is our target, this is how we measure them in terms of performance, and this is the budget that we need. And sometimes it helps to even work on the variance. To say, under normal circumstances, this is what we would require. But based on what is given to us now, this is what we are working on. The project is that the department, I think Susan was explaining, how they varied sometimes their targets downward. So that it makes it easier for people to. Then it's on the basis of that, you can make reference to the presentation prepared. It may shorten your time, but it goes to the issues that are relevant for the committee to do consumption. I said this, and let me repeat it again. Once you open up your presentation, we are going to ask you, just a very general, we are going to ask you, DMR, even about the job losses that are taking place, simply because that's what your report is actually opening space to. I don't want to say Golden Gomez, he started correctly, but in the mid-losses, I don't know what. But he may have said it more as a joke, but it's a fact. You must channel us also. Because sometimes when you come here, we are interested on other issues that we have always wanted you to come here for. I'm not saying block us there, but you must be able to move out of the committee quite clear that these are the issues. That's why I said to all of you before, when we fight with you, it's not because we want something against you. We are doing these things because we want you to succeed. We want those one who have not received a clean audit, that when you come back here, at least we can be good. And I must say, as I said in advance, it's not a competition. At least you have been performing, even as a department, you have been performing much better than what others. I'm sure when you watch some of these committees, you don't wish to be in those shoes. So you are doing very well. Second, I think we must have, and I think it's important to say this, there are issues that cut across on the entity. But I'm not sure, Joel, whether is there a platform where there is a way where you can. Let's take a simple thing. It's not a question of just allocating work to the Man Health and Safety, to MinTech, and then to CGM. It's a question that as they begin to model, you see, because it's like now, you prepare, there's an allocation, you then say you must go and do this there, we'll give you this amount. There has to be a way that work that is being done is work that is complementary, because some of the challenges are just overarching challenges. Lastly, I'm not giving you a bad advice. Don't take it if you like. In one board that I used to sit, I told the CEO when he was appointed, no, wait, in this board, we appointed the CEO, you must report as a CEO so that we can see you know what you're talking about. Let the executives that are working with you compliment you in answer. It makes your task much shorter because you are taking an executive summary of responsibilities that you do. When it talks to the details of over, I'm not saying they must just accompany you as a CEO, whoever is a CEO here. Nothing. But it helps if you've got someone in the executive who is able to give one version so that others, when they come in, they can add on the issues that they feel that. But I'm not saying learn to do that thing. So I think it's important that we do this. But as we have said, we will be able to compile reports, we'll be able to come back. One thing that I think I must say is that it's clear that we need to look at the models, MinTech, and I think it's CGF, around the issues of offshore investment, even if it's about which entities take responsibility, whether it's your EU or your World Bank and so forth. We need to see whether we can expand the scope. I have always been arguing one thing, that if the mandate goes beyond, let that mandate be followed by resources. So I think it's quite important to make that thing. But I think in general, I've not seen something that is too controversial that we can be questioned why we didn't dismiss some of the others in the committee. It has even last 10 minutes. They are told when they come in, see the door that you came through. I can say at least you are able to put more of work. If there is anything that loses us, it is simple because you overplanned us. I will appease that. To an extent, we couldn't see that there was something that we might be missing. But for now, I think I must say, with the work that you are doing as entities, with the report that we've received from the AG, I would just say, don't regress, continue, and make sure that you improve. We will then be able to come back, in particular with the department, on key issues that we think the committee will be interested in. Some of them might go immediately rather than of a longer term. On that note, thank you very much. See you next time. Those that we may never see again or may not see again, have a safe journey in whatever areas of life destination where you are from. Thank you very much.
Hello, too. I am actually.